Welcome to the first issue of the Delta County Commissioner's Report in 2017. Our guest today is retiring District 2 Commissioner Mr. Bruce Hovde. He was term limited and therefore not eligible for re-election last fall for another term. This is the last time he will talk to us as a county commissioner on this monthly program. Bruce, I pulled out my old records of this program last night, and they show that our first interview with you on this program was April 1st, 2009. Including today's program, KVNF has had the honor to welcome you on the Delta County Commissioner's Report 23 times. This is probably some kind of a record.
Well, how about that?
How about that?
And by the way, thank you for having me. Working the schedule around. So is this number 24 and even
No,
two
this
dozen?
Is 23. This is 23.
Well,
but
I'm
according sorry. To my record, and I hopefully I kept an accurate little record, it's 23. So let me ask you, looking back on your years as a county commissioner, give us a few examples of what stands out as your most memorable accomplishments in those years.
Oh, there have been so many.
I'm sure there are many, but I'm sure there's something that stands out.
The one that is currently going on right now
really?
Is the broadband issue.
The broadband, yeah.
And I have worked along with my fellow commissioners, Region 10, DMEA, et cetera, to try and bring broadband in. Years ago, there was a company out of Connecticut that wanted to move into a rural area where they had an abundance of electrical power available, such as the tri-state line coming down west of Delta. They were wanting to put in kind of a Cisco storage area for all kinds of data. And everything was just right for what they wanted until they found out that we didn't have the internet available. So that was a company and several others that have looked, and it has always been broadband, high-speed internet that has been the deterrent in being able to enhance and entice and so forth companies to come in. And it has also been difficult for existing companies. Now, been on the same subject, but deviating a little bit. The primary thing we want to do is keep existing businesses and jobs and everything going.
Of course.
Another of the highlights that was I worked on extensively before I even became a commissioner, it's when I was with the Cedar Edge Chamber of Commerce, was the county line parking lot up on the Grand Mesa for cross-country skiing. We had been trying to promote cross-country skiing, and unfortunately, there were two fatalities that happened up there. And as a result of this, it brought it to the forefront. And between Delta County Road and Bridge, the Colorado GOCO, the lottery funds, Mesa County Road and Bridge, Forest Service, CDOT, there was a whole bunch of us, Nordic Council, et cetera, we were able to get that done. And again, it's a tragedy that there were two fatalities that happened. But it is such a marvelous place up there for people that cross-country ski. I used to, and I've got to the point when I fall down, I can't get back up. So anyway, it's hard to imagine. There are 34 miles of groomed cross-country trails up there.
And this didn't exist.
The cross-country skiing did exist prior to that, but this has enhanced the people to be able to come up there, park safely, mm-hmm. and not out on the on Highway 65. Yeah. So it has been a great boon to the skiing and everything else. Christy Ashwater and Dave Knudsen with Nordic Council worked extensively on trying to get this, and they still are. And their diligence is making this one of the top places in the United States for cross-country skiing, as well as, you know, if we're into winter sports, you're snowmobiling up there. You can go there at the Land's End turnoff and get on your snowmobile and go to Glenwood Springs on groomed trails. So it's a delightful winter recreational area, as well as summertime and everything.
Now, in the beginning, you mentioned the new high-speed internet. Overall, where does that program stand now? Okay. I know that DMEA and the other people have been working on it, but just overall, where does it stand?
Overall, DMEA has brought broadband into Paonia here, and they are lit up, and I'm sure KVNF is connected. The first place and the anchor tenant was Revolution Brewing over here on the corner. Mm-hmm. So that was the anchor point, and then it has dispersed from there. DMEA is working with the city of Montrose to get it done there. And also there is talk between the city of Delta and DMEA. You've got to realize that city of Delta, the people that live within most of the area of city of Delta, are not DMEA customers. Delta supplies their own electric power. So DMEA is also running the fiber cable all the way up 2100 Road outside, which is in Orchard City. So they are bringing that into Orchard City as we speak. The first three places they were going with their service was it wasn't Cobble Creek, one of the outfits over in Montrose County, and then interconnected with the city of Montrose. Paonia was at the top of the list, and they got here. And Orchard City is number three on the list. Hopefully they will get up to Cedar Edge, where I live, and they're still needing people to sign up. So I encourage everyone to sign.
What is the sign-up procedure?
It is a, I guess for lack of a better term, it is a commitment, an interest commitment. It is not an obligation.
And who do you contact?
You contact DMEA.
DMEA, right.
And ask for their
elevator. Because I want to do it myself. I haven't yet.
And so they have to have a certain number of people that are very interested in and have made an initial agreement to sign up. They are not obligated to sign up later on. Now, the advantage in signing up right now is that if you are predetermined to go there, the fee to go from their primary line into your house underground, unless you have overhead service, and then they will very possibly follow the overhead. That I'm not clear on. It's a $100 fee to get it to your house. In my case, they would have to bore underground about 200 feet, and I couldn't afford to pay them to do that. So Nancy and I signed up forthwith, and hopefully we can get it there. So I encourage everyone to sign up. There is no financial obligation.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do that myself. It will be a bit of a problem because they have to go for a half a mile. But they have a very nice trench that's there where their landline and the telephone copper wires have been in there and everything. So
hopefully they can get it done.
They can get it done.
Well, anyway, that would be a very smart $100 investment on your part.
For $100, it would be a bargain, believe me.
You betcha.
If you happen to just join us, this is the Delta County Commissioner's Report for January, and our guest is retiring County Commissioner Bruce Hovding. So, Bruce, did you have any serious disappointments during your commissioner years? Or let me put it another way. Was there any project, any reform or development that you hoped to do, but which circumstances or fate prevailed against? I hope you'll speak frankly.
Well, I will. The coal mines is the number one disappointment in all of our book, and the closure of both Oxbow and Bowie has just been devastating to the entire region, and especially to those families that have been affected by layoffs of the men and women that worked up there. A lot of people think coal miners are big, burly men. Well, I know one little lady. Her name is Lala, that worked in the mines, and she's only about 5'4". But the boys didn't, they didn't go mess with her and everything. She held her own. So the coal mines have been a devastating thing to the county, and we are trying to come out of it. Other things that I had hoped to...
Before you leave that, I understand...
excuse me.
I understand, and I know nothing about this, but there's a little more coal moving right now than there was. Is this some kind of a pickup, or what's going on?
What it is the spot market in the coal and West Elk, which is the furthest one to the east, have been able to pick up some contracts, so they are shipping more coal than they were, say, a year.
And I think Oxbow is involved in that too, aren't they?
If that is, I don't know how. Yeah. It would be on paper because
anyway,
Oxbow is closed down.
There has been a pickup in the spot market.
In the spot market,
yeah.
And I don't know where they're shipping it to.
Yeah.
But they have been able to pick up some
contracts.
So were
they able to rehire anybody, or could they handle it with,
It's
that's
rumored
detail.
That they were able to pick up some of the miners that had worked in the other ones. I don't know numbers by any means.
But overall, this has been a significant financial problem, let alone the human elements that are involved. Of course, some, I believe, 400, 500 miners have been let go.
Well,
like that.
Almost 1,000.
Has it been that much?
It has
1,000.
Been that
much.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. I think it's 800 miners and support staff at the mines and everything.
Sure.
And then other
it's
jobs
working
that
people
have been
they
lost
get fired. Yeah.
Are support industry and things like that. There's been several companies that have closed down. Colorado Lime there in Delta was supplying lime for dust control, and they have closed their doors. So the support industry, and it's not limited just to Peonia-Hotchkiss, Delta County municipalities, but far-reaching into Grand Junction, into Montrose, and everything else. So it has been a devastating thing. And then the severance taxes will be, they're pretty much gone out of,
obviously,
from the mining. So that is affecting Delta County specifically here in 2017 and will be in 2018 again. So whereas we used to get a couple of $1 million or so, that's kind of going away. So the budget crunch is on.
Do you think this is this long term or longer term? Is this a permanent thing? Do you think, or
if I have
or
to
is
guess,
it a cyclical thing?
I don't see Oxbow opening up again, primarily because of the methane problems that they have there. I couldn't begin to guess what would happen with Bowie. Hopefully, West Elk will continue rolling and everything. But it's my understanding Oxbow is not going to reopen, and so much of it depends on the political end of climate change and the contribution of coal CO2 discharges. It who knows? Now, there is one little bit of light at the tunnel, end of the tunnel. with Oxbow in that they have the methane capturing electrical generation that they're just north of Oxbow's mines that Vessel Company put in. Now, so they are capturing the methane out of the mines themselves and have a huge engine that is running off of methane gas, generating electricity. It goes from Vessel's company generating plant right there by Oxbow, hooks onto DMEA's lines, goes to, across, I think it gets on Tri-State, ends up at Holy Cross Power over in Carbondale, and then is used by the Aspen Ski Corp up in Snowmass. So there are things that are happening. There were rumors of they were going to try, and I don't even remember what the correct word is, convert coal over to diesel fuel and gasoline and everything out of the coal mines here. It is an extremely expensive proposition.
That starts with the methane?
It starts with the coal itself.
And
it has been used before. Germany, during World War II, powered all of their engine-driven devices, their tanks, artillery, vehicles, and everything, out of gasoline and diesel fuel that was produced by converting coal into a liquid fuel. Mm-hmm. So you asked what are one of my disappointments. I had hoped and I had advocated this a long time. Building codes. I had always thought that building codes should be, and I still do, part of the safety of construction within Delta County. I built custom homes in Arizona for about 5 years prior to moving up here. And we lived by zoning, we lived by building codes and everything else. And the building inspectors, those that knew their business and were good at it, were actually a great deal of help in coming in and saying, you know, you forgot to put some hurricane clips up there on those trusses up there. So get those up there and we'll go from there. And it is a safety issue as it stands right now within the county. You can do just pretty much anything you want. If you want to put your walls, your studs on 24-inch centers with half-inch sheetrock, it looks the same as if you were using 2x6 on 16-inch centers once the sheetrock's up and everything. And the adage that, well, I'm building it, I'm going to live in it. If it falls on my head, it's my problem. Someday that's going to change hands, either through a sale or through a transfer down to heirs and offspring and so forth and so on. So I have always been an advocate of reasonable building codes. And so forth. There are times that some building inspectors just go off the wall and make life miserable for all. And I suffered some of that. It's kind of funny. We would put this was down in Mesa in the Phoenix area. We learned that we had a building inspector that would come through, and he was pushing, close to 300 pounds. And so we would put the drops down from the ceiling to attach the cabinets in the kitchen. Well, his means of – he would walk through and look and come back. And then if he – his determination as to how well this was built was he would go over to that drop and he'd grab hold and he'd chin himself. And if the drop stayed in place, then you pass. Well, of course, we used the finest wood that we could find. We put all kinds of – make sure that 300-pound man was not going to fall back down.
Did you ever have an instance where you pulled him off?
We didn't, but, there were instances where
he failed.
Yeah.
Actually,
You know, these anecdotes and things like that. It's kind of funny.
But that was a very practical inspection.
Well, yeah, and to his mind's eye, and as I say, he would walk through and look. But that was his ultimate test. And
chin himself.
And I don't recall whether he could actually chin himself.
Yeah, but he put himself up. Sure, sure. That's a great story. So overall, you feel that you, would you say that you had more pluses than minuses?
I would say I've had more pluses than minuses.
That's kind of a stupid way to put it. But,
no, that's a very good analogy and everything. I walked in, and I did not have an agenda that, aside from hoping to get building codes, and it just didn't happen. The thing that surprised me the most is the number of meetings that I go to, and they're just continuously going, and sometimes they just blend and you forget what happened an hour and a half ago because you're trying to concentrate on this one, knowing full well that you have an evening meeting. So, you know, people would see my truck parked in front of my house and, you know, what's he doing, lollygagging and everything? Well, there's the internet, emails, there's phone calls, there's doing homework and everything else. That doesn't mean that every time I was home, I was on my computer and everything. It's being a commissioner, you have, in my opinion, probably the greatest latitude of a job and everything else that you can have. There are times you spend 60 hours a week in meetings and doing stuff, and then there are times you only spend 25 hours a week. And so it's been a very gratifying experience. I was calculating up in the 8 years, I've taken many long weekends, like over Labor Day. I take Friday off and not come back until Tuesday. But in 8 years, there's only been one time that I took 2 weeks in succession.
Really?
And we went to a family reunion back in Nancy's hometown in Michigan. So I'm not complaining. I guess if I had wanted to and felt that I could take the time and everything, I could have. But it's been a gratifying experience. I suggest anybody that has an interest in politics and community service, give it a thought.
I've been asked to put the following question to you. There are indications that we will have more young people coming into this area and more young natives staying after high school or college, in contrast to the so-called young brain drain that characterized some past years. Perhaps the availability of new high-speed internet is one favorable factor in this. What do you think this change in demographics will bring to our area, to our county?
It will really be a vibrant change coming into the area. The economy in Delta County for the past 50 years or so has been energy related. In Western Colorado, it has. If we can entice young people, new ideas and everything else, and raise their families here, we all live here because we want to, in most cases. I know that there is quite a few young people moving in here to the North Fork and everything else. Many reasons and so forth.
Particularly the North Fork,
particularly in the North Fork and everything. And I hope that that is a migration that continues to happen. Young people have new ideas, and people that have been around a long time, we have some stagnant ideas. So I welcome them. I think it'd be a change for the good of all.
Bruce, we thank you for the many hours you took out of your busy schedule to spend with us on the KVNF airways.
Well, Felix, thank you very much for saying that. It has, in my opinion, it has been a privilege coming in here and talking with you. You are a delightful person to talk to. Your world experiences and so forth, just you and I sit and chat after our monthly or quarterly talk, and you have enlightened me on some many things that you have done. I would love to switch chairs with you and grill you for an hour or so sometime.
One last question. What's next for Bruce Hovde?
Whatever the day brings. People ask me, what do you have going? And I have already gotten installed into three different boards, and I haven't. People ask me, and I ran out of things to say, and so I said I'm going to go to farrier school and become a horseshoer. No, I don't think I could quite handle that. I right now would like to take some time and be able to go down and see some grandchildren and so forth and so on. But I will be involved in community service.
I'm sure you will, and we'll certainly look forward to that. I think that's just about our time. Thank you, Bruce Hovde. You know, you're a great guy.
Well, Felix, thank you very much. Right. From one great guy to say that, I take that as a full compliment.
And for KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont.